T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, good morning, Portland. It's just about time to get your day started right here with Dusty and Cam on 10 AM. We'll get up and get started. It's time for Dusty and Cam. Just around 6, shower, shave, and coffee. It's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Cam.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
Yo, love you, dog.
Love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you, the 14th of November, 2019. Mr. Cleland, how are you, sir?
What's up?
Oh.
Eddie.
Wow. Eddie. That was an elongated one. I kind of like that one.
What's that?
Oh, nothing. You know, just living that dream, living that life.
Is that your standard answer to people?
Living how you doing? The dream? Living the dream?
No, how you doing?
Oh, me?
No, how you doing?
Are you Joey?
Oh, no,
did you hear that
you
Friends
doing?
May be having a reunion special on HBO?
I heard that Friends won't be Friends. I heard that the women are going to get back together and do a Golden Girls remake.
Well, that would be neat. Are you serious right now?
It's going to be called The Cougs.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
No,
serious.
No, no. I actually heard Jennifer Aniston talk about it. She said, yeah, the girls want to do a show, the three of them. The boys don't want to get back together, just the girls.
Boys are
too high maintenance.
I saw that.
Nobody wants Ross anyway.
Nobody wants Ross. He's a bad friend. The worst friend.
Nobody wants Phoebe.
No. Bad take by you. Phoebe, good friend. No, there's apparently an HBO reunion because it is the 20-year reunion or 20 years.
Has it been 20 years? It's not 20, been 20 years since they've been off the air.
25 years maybe? Is it the 25-year anniversary?
Yeah, they went into the 2000s.
They were 94, right? 94 is when they started.
Oh, I don't know.
And they went way later than I think what other people started. It is a monumental
They've been off
year.
The air for 15 years.
Off the
so
year.
So 2004.
2004 was the last episode.
Okay. And they
so
went
they had
10
a
10 years.
10, 11 year
they
run?
Went a 10 year run.
Seinfeld went 9. Mm-hmm. They went 10, 11.
But I heard that HBO may be having a reunion special with the Friends.
Hubs?
Or maybe once and for all, they will definitively answer who is the worst friend. Of Friends.
Too subjective for me.
Well, I know. That's why they have to do it. You know? They have to, as
I'm on the Phoebe
characters.
Thing. Phoebe was just kind of like, meh, for me. She was, meh.
See, but that didn't doesn't really make her much, a bad, that doesn't I, make I her a bad friend.
No,
Ross just took.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's just, bad friend. Okay. Today.
Spewing your lies.
Me?
Yeah.
How?
Spewing your
Dispute
lies.
It. Dispute
I just
the
did
lie.
I did dispute the lie. I don't need to dispute the lie.
Where's the lie?
Do that. I don't think
Where's
Ross,
the lie?
I don't think Ross is a bad friend.
Where's the lie though? In anything that I said, take. Stole his quote friend's girlfriend on a vacation.
Yeah.
Okay? Stole his girlfriend from him on the vacation, and then he got mad when Joey was dating Rachel after he stole his friend
not
on
his
the
fault
vacation.
That they wrote that character that way.
Psh. I'm not, no. This is not an indictment to David Schwimmer.
All right,
it is Ross the friend.
Ross the friend.
Ross
bad
the
friend.
Friend.
Bad friend. He's a thief.
He is a.
I wonder how many guys out there have taken their girlfriend or their boyfriend, their their friend's girlfriend.
Speaking of
or
friends.
Or boyfriend's girl. I don't really know. Whatever one. Which one? Are you stealing?
In studio today, we have got an actor from Friends joining the show.
We do. We do.
Michael Rapaport will join us in studio today. He played Phoebe's cop boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't going to work out when they woke up in the morning and there was a bird chirping out the window and he pulled out his sidearm and shot the bird. And Phoebe went, I think this is
not
probably
gonna
done.
Work out. Can we get Michael Rapaport's of which friend is the bad friend, worst friend?
I don't know. We'll see if the conversation goes
if
that
it goes
way.
Goes there. Well, you were going to start it with Remy, and I'm going to start it with Friends.
No, I wasn't going to start it with Remy. You don't come out of the gate with, hey.
Sounded like that's what you were going to start it with.
Remy's a jerk. Well, I didn't. No. No, you don't go, Remy's a jerk. Explain yourself. Mm. Because.
Good luck with that one. Also, don't bring up Barstool. Again, that one's probably not a. That's probably a very sensitive issue also.
My gosh.
I think it was a lawsuit between the two. Like, they can't talk about each other.
Really?
I think so.
Oh, I could see that happening.
I think there's a defamation of character thing that they can't even just talk about each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of hate there. Yeah. So I wasn't going to bring that up, but.
Yeah, we're just going right out. We'll talk Knicks.
Yeah, we're supposed to have him for like the final hour. He's going to basically join us after the Pro Football Challenge.
Just let him go.
And just let him go. There's a ton of stuff to talk to that guy about, though, because
very
he's
good
been a serious actor. Mm-hmm. He's a comedian, and that's why he's going to be here. He's at Helium. Friday or Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then he's involved in the Big Three with Ice Cube.
Yeah.
And our buddy Oliver Maroney, who's going to be in studio with along with him. He's a massive Knicks fan, New York sports fan. So I really do want to get his thoughts on James Dolan and them potentially firing David Fizdale already. And he's just a big personality. So
I saw Jeff Bezos wants to buy a franchise. Could be an NFL, could be NBA.
Just a franchise.
Just somebody sell it to him. If you could have Jeff Bezos, in which league would you want him in?
Major League Baseball in Portland.
How about both?
Oh, wait, what?
Can you have him? He literally has enough money to buy all three, but I know the leagues don't allow you to do that.
He has enough money to buy all three leagues.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably. He just got divorced. He had to give up $47 billion. So I think he's only around $50 billion.
Only.
Yeah. Well, he used to worth $123 billion.
I know that's.
He had to give some away.
That is crazy.
Not give it away. She got her fair share. They've been together a long time.
They're getting a divorce, but they're keeping their money together because they're
too expensive to get divorced.
Because they like money.
Yeah. Because you split that up, and your earning power isn't that big. Okay.
That'd be a fun game. Most wealthy divorces.
Well, that's number one of all time.
It's got to be.
Yeah, no, they did a list after it happened of the most expensive divorces, and I believe...
Tiger Woods got to be up there. Tiger Woods got to be up there.
What was the guy's name? Aaron Spelling?
He had a huge mansion right in downtown.
Yeah, in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
I think he was on the list. There's a lot. There was a lot of, you just go, whoa.
Wow.
And there's a lot of people nobody's ever heard of. Because like some of the richest people in the United States,
nobody knows
who they are.
Right. They're heiresses and heirs and all that. Old, old money.
How do you get
like
into
that? Like a Rockefeller or something.
Yeah. We don't have royal families here, but make no mistake.
They are there.
We have them.
They're here.
We definitely have them. All right. 55305, the Better You Today text line. Not only is it Rapaport, but the 8 o'clock hour is just loaded with things you look forward to. Because we'll have the bells.
Yeah.
Pro Football Challenge.
You're damn right we're going to have these bells.
Hear Cam Cleland's intensity over these airwaves at 8 o'clock. We also have Know Your Foe, Ryan Buckley. It's a desert version of Know Your Foe. Arizona State for the Ducks and the Beavs. Huh. So we'll have Know Your Foe 7:30. And then off the rails, do you know how much booze it's legal to carry in your car? Because the man got arrested, and I didn't know that this was a law.
Is this in a car? There's no way this is in a car.
He was in an SUV.
What?
Yeah, they have pictures of the
SUV. Was it all cognac?
Yeah, no. A guy was arrested. We'll give you a quick primer. He had $36,000 worth of alcohol
in his
car.
Was he carrying around just Louis? Bottles of Louis?
Apparently, no. It was like Jack Daniels and Kettle One. And
would the street value $36,000 or is the retail value $36,000?
I don't Is there a difference between street value and retail value of booze?
Yeah, there's a difference between street value because then there's the, you know, you get taxed.
Yeah.
Tax, are you putting the tax value in there?
How much street booze do you buy?
Here is.
What are you talking about? I love to show moonshiners. I'm buying some Apple moonshine all the time.
You lived in New Orleans. You probably had some moonshine in the South.
Absolutely. Moonshine was part of every.
Quite a bit of apple pie moonshine down at Talladega.
Yeah.
For my bachelor
part of
party.
Every crawfish boil was moonshine.
Moonshine. If you get like some good old legit country backwoods moonshine, it feels like somebody is grabbing the stem of your brain and just twisting it really quick.
It burns from the smell all the way out.
Woo! Okay, so this guy had Bacardi rum, Jack Daniels, Jameson whiskey, Kettle One vodka.
So I thought this was moonshine. I didn't know it was actual labeled.
And Sambuca. See, and that's the thing, is how much, do you know how much booze you can carry in your vehicle? Because this guy's going to the slammer for it. 55305, better you, today text line. Also, the NFL CBA, there was a report from the Washington Post yesterday that a deal was close between the players and the league. Well, that's since been refuted, but there are some details that are leaking out that the players are moving forward with and the league is moving forward with. And it involves expansion of the regular season and the postseason. We will have that as our P1 social today. But where we start?
I remember it was just like yesterday.
A little sad day in sports history today. On this day in sports history, 1970... an airplane carrying the Marshall University football team on a return trip from East Carolina crashed. All 75 on board the aircraft died in the accident. Obviously, the movie We Are Marshall with Matthew McConaughey. Football program almost ceased to exist. They rallied around the town and the university in that moment. So We Are Marshall and the Marshall University tragic plane crash. This date in sports history, 1970. Man, then lesser known, did you know the Wichita State?
Yeah, I know that most definitely. Yes.
That one went down too.
Yep.
And wasn't there a thing with Evansville, the school that just beat Kentucky? They had something in their past like that as well.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
I believe so. I'll have to look into it.
Michigan last year went off the runway?
Yeah, at the NCAA tournament
NCAA
or Big
tournament.
Ten tournament.
Yeah.
They skidded off the runway. That may have been 2 years ago, but they had to wear like backup uniforms because they're. Yeah. Their uniform smelled like jet fuel or something.
Scary.
That is crazy. Think of this. Like, we have Oklahoma State. Remember when their plane crashed? Their basketball team plane went down or something?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like multiple fatalities.
And you that was semi-recent. That was like 15, 20 years ago, maybe?
You have the Wichita State, the Marshall, the skidding off of the Michigan aircraft. Isn't it amazing? Think of how many athletic teams fly around, right?
That's me just knocking on wood. Right? Sorry, I know. I don't like to think that way.
There's not.
I know. Safe to fly.
No, yeah,
folks.
That's what I'm saying.
Safest thing to do.
Think of how safe air travel is. That there haven't been a ton of these issues, especially in recent memory.
What was the soccer team? The movie Alive.
Chile or Peru?
Chilean.
Peruvian. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that was that movie. Boy, that was something else. Mm. All right. Where we start? The Portland Trail Blazers do it again, folks. Oh, man. Dustin came on the fan. Time to panic in Rip City. The Portland Trail Blazers fall 114-106 to the Toronto Raptors. Now 4-8 on the year. Not going well.
12 seed?
As of right now, there's still, 70 games to play in the regular season. But Blazers are looking flat, man. And last night was one of those nights where you looked at it and you said, we're just underway in this season, and Damian Lillard has been ridden, and he looked tired, man. He finally looked gassed the second of a back-to-back. And the Blazers come out against one of the top teams in the East and in the NBA. And look, the Raptors were shorthanded. It's not like they're full strength. You know, we talked about the Blazers' injuries over and over and over again, but if you look at what the Raptors are dealing with, they didn't have Kyle Lowry. They didn't have, what's his name? OG Anunoby.
But they had Siakam.
They had Pascal Siakam, and they didn't have Serge Ibaka either.
No.
But they had Pascal Siakam, and they had Fred Van Vliet, who just torched the Blazers. Siakam with 36 points, Van Vliet with 30, as the Blazers pulled within, well, they tied it in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. CJ knocked down a three, a clutch three, at a pivotal moment in a big stretch of the game. And then the Blazers kind of melted down. A 14-0 run in that fourth quarter after CJ pulled the game even, and the Blazers end up losing 114-106. And Damian Lillard held to just 9 points on the night. The first time since 2016, he has not scored in double figures, which is, you know, a little bit concerning for the Blazers, because they said, all right, we're going to take away Dame and let anybody else beat us. And they couldn't.
Again, I am always bizarred by this Terry Stotts thing where Nassar Little, a rookie, starts in this. This is now, again, I don't know. I don't understand this.
Well, I do.
Oh, you do.
Anthony Tolliver wasn't the answer, was there? I mean, Nassir Little played better than Anthony Tolliver has.
My point is that this is the arbitrary starter that gets injected into the starting lineup, and then he plays like 9-10 minutes, and then we don't see him the rest of the game.
I understand.
This is a really weird deal. I don't get it. I don't feel like anybody else in the Western Conference does this.
Well, I understand it. I understand it in this instance, because you're missing two guys that should be playing in that spot right now, okay? And then Anthony Tolliver, who you thought was a vet that you could bring in to, you know, be a Band-Aid right now and spot start for you, he wasn't producing. And so you go, all right, Rook, we've got to try something.
Yeah, you got to put somebody in there, but this is, yeah.
Heading into that game, they lost, what, 5 of their last 6 games? Mm-hmm. And so you sit there and you go, we got nothing to lose here. I'm usually with you on this, in this regard, that even when things are going well, Terry Stotts will do the spot start. Yeah. But I thought Nassir Little held his own, at least. I mean, he was going up against Pascal Siakam, and Siakam had, albeit, you know, 16 points, but 16 of his 36 were against Nassir Little. It was when everybody else is on the floor that Siakam kind of went to work, you know? And that, to me, I look at and I go, okay, you're trying to get the spark. It didn't work for your team. The bigger issue is that your stars are kind of ships passing in the night right now. Dame struggles last night, and before that, CJ had his struggles.
Yeah, his team doesn't have any. I said it the other day. It doesn't have a lot of juice. I'm quite bizarred by it. Mm. I thought there was going to be a little bit more. Remember how excited we were at the beginning of this season?
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly was the most excited about a roster. It looks like a bunch of individuals playing basketball. It really does.
Well,
I don't see a semblance of team. Are they a push team? Do they want to get out? Do they want to go? Do they want half court? Do they play any defense? Does Hassan Whiteside like to play a little bit of defense?
Mm-hmm, no.
Occasionally, if he's motivated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was good to see Rodney Hood back, and you saw a little bit of punch and a stretch. He had 25 points in his return from back spasms, and that's kind of just where Portland has been right now. You're asking Damian Lillard to carry in a huge load for this team, and last night, there's going to be some nights where he just doesn't have it.
What do you mean?
That
he can't put up 60 every night?
He was 2 of 12 from the field, and he was waiting for somebody else to come in, and Rodney Hood picked up the slack. CJ McCollum started snapping out of a slump, but when it came down to pivotal stretches of the game, Toronto goes on a 14-0 run. And that's, hey, spoiler alert, not going to be good enough for you. So now they are 4-8, and unfortunately for the hometown team, it doesn't get easier for the Trailblazers as they now hit the road again. And they go back to the San Antonio Spurs. That's one thing that really hasn't helped them, is that if you look at it, they've been on the road a ton and will continue to be on the road because they start a 6-game road trip right now. You know, I mean, that was, they're 12 games into the year, and it seems like they've been on the road for all of them. They've been on the road for 6 of the 12, you know, half the time, and then they're going to go and play 6 on the road right now. So 18 games into this year, they're going to have 12 road games, 6 home games by the time they return. It's not going to get easier for this team. But, you know, after the game, you hear the guys talking. It doesn't sound like they're too stressed out about it. They're working out the kinks just like a lot of other teams are in the NBA. The unfortunate thing is that they've dug themselves a hole that I'm not so sure they're going to be able to get out of and be a top four seed in the Western Conference.
Well, they're going to have to make a really big move in the month of December because, like you said, the month of November is littered with road games, especially at this front, this back end, or the middle side. So the stretch in December, you're going to have to get somebody back or some health. I don't know how that's going to happen. I really don't. This team just is. It's very bizarre. I know Dame's not going to give up. He's going to stay positive. I have the utmost respect for him and what he can do to lead this team. I just don't know what he's going to get out of these guys.
Right. Well, right until you get the Calvary returning, you know, and that's going to be in a long time. I mean, it's going to be a long time until that happens.
I mean, at the trade deadline, what are you going to do? I mean, is there going to have to be moves? I look at the uncomfortableness of watching Neil O'Shea sit there with Jody Allen at the end of the seats, and I could just see the tenseness on the faces going, what is going on?
Yeah, it's a marathon, man, but I think everybody's feeling that.
We haven't seen this start, not since what? Since 2000, what was it, 2011?
There was slow starts. Slow starts have happened in recent memory, but I mean, nothing to this degree where you just sit there and it looks just disjointed. There's always this faith that you knew, and I think that may be what it is, that there isn't a faith of, all right, we know what the players are on this roster and what they can do, because there isn't that known. Like, there's so much continuity over the last handful of years that you'd sit there and you could feel comfortable and be like, all right, yeah, he can pull it together. He can put it together. There's a lot of unknown about Hassan Whiteside, Kent Bazemore, LeBissiere, Herzogna, and obviously Anthony Tolliver that goes into it. But one of the bright spots, though, is Anfernee Simons is delivering. And unfortunately for Portland, that is just another guard. And that's not where the Blazers struggle right now. So Blazers 4-8 on the year. Just take a deep breath. They're going to be back at it Saturday.
Well, we'll catch up with them in January. We'll see how things go.
Okay. All right, let's do it. 55305, the Better You Today text line. We're going to have more chance to talk a little NBA because Austin Rivers did something to his father that I think everybody can appreciate last night. And a hot take by Russell Westbrook on one of the best defenders in the NBA. But coming up next, the NFL and its players. There was a report that a new CBA is expected by around the Super Bowl. Well, a not so fast, my friend, is expansion the answer to what the NFL is going through with its players and the problems they have? 55305, the Better You Today text line. Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Come out to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us on the Better You Today text line at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
55305. That is the Better You Today text line. How you can be a part of the show. You drive the conversation here. The Washington Post's Mark Maskey reported last night a new collective bargaining agreement could be completed by early 2020, potentially before the Super Bowl or around the Super Bowl time, between the NFL and its Players Association. A part of Maskey's reporting on this says it would include a 17-game regular season schedule and an expansion of the playoffs from 12 to 14 teams. How about that? Part of the reporting was he even said, look, the NFL doesn't even the players' unions okay to expand the playoffs. They can just do it themselves. Mm-hmm. But it is part of the new negotiations, and that report came out last night, and everybody's like, whoa, good. No work stoppage in the NFL. Well, it sounds like that was a one-sided conversation Maskey was having, because the Players Association and its reps, according to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, say, yeah, they're working forward, and the 17 games may be a part of it, but they're nowhere near a deal for a new CBA.
No, it sounds good. This is all a little bit of spin. Richard Sherman is a very well-respected person in the Players Association. He represents, he's actually some of the, I think you just probably mentioned it, is that the board is going to be revoted on here in the spring. And that happens with a lot of current players, sitting players, and that changes, year in and year out. But Richard Sherman has said our players should continue to save their money and be prepared for a work stoppage at the expiration of the current CBA. Our greatest strength is our solidarity. Save your money. Now, a lot of the players can. You're only paid eight game checks per year. So you only get eight checks. That's it. That's all you get. It's not
every other week.
Yeah, you get eight checks, and that's how you structure it. And the hardest part for a lot of guys when they get into the league is that they go, oh, yeah, there's a $30,000 check, and there's this, and they don't prepare themselves. I know it's a shock to a lot of those of you out there, but those that understand the money gets spent because you try to keep up with each other, and you don't really see, oh, this guy makes $50 million, this guy makes $500,000. You don't think of it that way. It's very bizarre. I wish I could try to help everybody. I know it's big world problems, but some of these guys really do need a lot of help in understanding how to save money. They don't know how to do it.
Right.
But the issue with this and the Players Association is I ask this question to all of you as listeners. Is more always better? Is more? 16 games we have in the regular season. We have 4 preseason games, and you have 12 playoff games. We're looking to expand, and the NFL saying we want to get to 14. We want to have another regular season game. Is more? Because while college football is extremely exclusive and they want to keep this exclusive for, the NFL is trying to get more inclusive. They're trying to give you more and more of a great product. But at that time, we have Thursday night football. We have Sunday night football. We certainly have Monday night football. And then you take over, and now we could go to London, take away the preseason. Is more always better? Or is it because this league has 16 games and that we always think there's if you just give us more, it's going to be better? I can't disagree with, I'm not trying to contradict what I'm saying, but I look at it and go, the league is working so well right now and think there's going to be projected $15 billion of revenue split between owners and players. That's going to be the major hiccup. Mm-hmm. Can you expand the rosters? The major issues on this is the roster expansion. Okay, having the rookie deals scaled back and even modified from 2011 and how that goes. Right, and the number one issue, which not everybody thinks is a big deal, is going to be franchise tags. Franchise tags and how those work. If you're a first-round pick this year, they could have you locked in still under the rookie contract 5 years plus 2 franchise tags. You could never see the light of day for 7-plus seasons.
3 if you're a quarterback, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're a quarterback, they can hold you for 3 more after that, so 8 years.
Yeah. And what's the average career in the NFL? Oh, it's 2.5, maybe 3?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a bad deal, but you think about it. That's locked in solid. If you could keep free agency, keep it to 5, and remove the franchise tags, then we could probably agree. And owners are going to have a tough time telling you, we're going to allow the rosters to expand, but we're going to keep these guys. We're going to pay that more money because now we're close to $200 million going into next season of an uncapped season.
Well, here is a – wait, an uncapped season?
Yeah, because if you go into a negotiation, remember, when it goes into when the season, when there's no agreement, and if you start the 2020 season going into 2020, it's completely uncapped if you're in those negotiations. Because there's nothing, there's no cap value. So you look at it and go, oh, we'll just start spending. Well, the teams are not going to spend. Get your deals. You're going to see a ton of deals try to get locked in this offseason because if you don't have an agreement by that time, players are going to go, oh, man, we don't know where the money's going to come from. So they're going to want to get locked up this year.
Well, and there's going to be part of this reporting from the Washington Post that the Pro Football Talk has backed up is that so you do need approval from the players to get the 17-game regular season schedule, which means they would reduce the preseason length. They would likely add a bye week. And then you're talking expansion of the playoffs as well. The players are going to go, wait a minute, that is more games that we're playing. We need a bigger piece of that pie that you want to give us.
Tremendous.
And that's going to be a massive sticking point. And the way that Mike Florio kind of put it from Pro Football Talk, it's, you know where that piece is going to come from? The rookies again. That rookie pay scale that they put in 2011, they're going to sit there and say, all right, we're going to dial that back again so the vets get even more money because but rookies aren't at these negotiation tables. Nobody's sitting there standing up for them. It's the vets that are going, hey, we've been here for a while. I've been around the block a time or two, and we want more money for those guys, and that's where that money's probably going to come from.
I don't know. I don't know because the health of the league, the future of the league are young players, and if you have to incentivize the young players and give them a little bit more of an option, not everybody has the ability to earn five seasons worth of money.
Yeah.
And veterans are understand that, that once you're a guy that makes it into that second contract, and if you're going to take a chunk of your salary cap, you got to understand that you might not have the guys around you. So the league is very well balanced. I think it is. It did upset a lot of players towards the end of their careers when they saw rookies making tons of guaranteed money in first five picks.
Sam Bradford.
And never, ever, ever doing anything on the field. That changed, and that was a good thing. I think that's a very good thing. But if we're talking $15 billion as it currently sits, what do you think adding a playoff game and one more preseason game or one more regular season game adds to the pie?
That adds about $1 billion to the television.
If not more.
Yeah.
If not more.
To the television contract, they're saying, hey, more money. And by the way, for fans, that would be a great thing because that means your season is longer. Because they would just add it on and extend it out into, so we're going to like right. Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl weekend is Valentine's Day weekend, which puts a lot of people in a bind.
Well, think about also too with all these Super new Bowl places Sundays that are going to be getting Valentine's. new buildings and what LA is going to change. What's just over $5 billion complex that Stan Kroenke's putting in with 2,500 residencies, a mall, and then offices and all those things. Where's this money coming from?
Yeah. If you were to look at it too, is playoff expansion worth it though? Because a 7-team playoff means the number one seed gets a bye, and then you have three games. 2 plays 7, 6 plays 3, 5 plays 4. Okay. Does the NFL have enough great teams to field a 14-game playoff? 55305, the Better You Today text line, 643 on the Fan. All right, 55305, this is the Better You Today text line. It is very delayed. I was wondering why last segment we were getting a bunch of text messages about the Portland Trailblazers, then realized that they were all coming in 18 minutes ago.
And I was wondering why we were getting a bunch of text messages about Phoebe and Ross.
Yeah.
That seemed a little delayed.
Yeah.
You could just call 55305. Oh, that's
nope,
that doesn't
that's
work.
That's not how you do it.
503-250-1080. You just say hi. You can just call in and say hi. We can go old school on this.
Yeah, we can.
We can go old school.
How would a 7-team playoff work in the National Football League? Do you want to see that happen? If you were to expand to 4, and this is the Washington Post is saying that a new CBA is actually working and inching that way. And Richard Sherman did admit in a tweet, they are making progress, but it's nowhere close, right?
And why would it be?
Save your money.
And why would it be close?
Well, and this is the thing is the Washington Post got one-sided on this because the NFL desperately wants this thing to get done. And in all honesty, they need it to get done before March. Because in March, that is a pivotal month for the NFLPA because they're voting for new leadership. They're going to have a change in leadership, not with Demora Smith, but with their player representatives and their player president. Mm-hmm. And so they want this thing done and tied in so they can move on with the new CBA because guess what new leadership is going to do? They're going to put their damn foot in the ground because everybody that's going to be voted for is somebody that stumps for, hey, we're going to say, screw you, league. We're going to get ours.
So during my run, I was a player rep, and we had two extensions during that time. And Gene Upshaw always told us that we're just going to extend this because we like where we sit. We like the situation. Some of the things that we're going to go to bat for are going to be changes. But there never was significant changes after 1993 other than money split and then how some of the benefits were adjusted. Like, the explanation, which maybe a lot of people don't understand, is that every player gets a royalty check per year. It is the lowest royalty check of all the core four because it goes in for jersey sales and EA Sports and all of that. And you also pay your union dues. A union due per year for a player is now upwards of $12,000 per year. That's your union dues. So you pay a union and then you just write that check. There are also players that worked in states like the state of Louisiana, where it is a free work state and you didn't have to pay your union dues, but boy, were you looked down upon by your union if you did not invest in your, so that didn't go over very well for some of the guys that did that. But that check that some of these guys did get that were rookies or anybody that was younger, it didn't even cover your union costs. It was only about $6,000, $5,000. And now it's bumped up since there, but usually it's a wash at this point. The argument for this is going to be, it's always about money, but one of these players are going to start to learn and they're going to understand is that when you argue about money now, you have to argue about money later. And I think that's where a lot of the sticking points are going to be in the future for this, is that as these older players like Richard Sherman will tell you, as you get up and you get long in the tooth in the NFL, you start to realize that you got to start taking care of the younger players and stop getting greedy with just the old guys. Because there's too much recirculation for the NFL. And the owners don't care. They don't care. They always know the next crop is coming. I mean, how many guys are going to get drafted off Alabama, Auburn, LSU? I mean, you're going to get 10 guys per team, if not more. There's always going to be an influx of new talent willing to take your job. They have that leverage. That will never change in the National Football League. So if you want to add 10 more games, fine, add 10 more games. It's not going to matter.
Here is one thing that will not matter whether the players like it or not. It does appear that the NFL is going down the road of a 14-team playoff. So expanding the playoffs by one team in the AFC, one team in the NFC. Currently is a 12-team playoff where the 1 and 2 seeds get byes, and then you have your wild card rounds. Well, that would change things quite a bit, because the number one overall seed in the playoffs would mean a heck of a lot more. Because it would only have one bye, and that would be for the number one overall seed. Now, the thing is that, does the NFL need more teams in its playoff, right? 7 teams in the playoff. Are there 7 teams from each league that can contend? And if you look at it right now, you would have a first-round matchup, because the 7 seed would play the 2. In the AFC, it would be the Raiders against the Ravens.
It's pretty good.
I'd watch that game. And then the Packers against the Rams. Watch that game as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, there is a need for it, but there's also years where a 7-9 team slips its way into the playoffs.
It's going to happen.
As a division champ.
That's not a bad thing.
But a 10-win team is sitting at home because they didn't win the wild card. They were in a better division, though.
We've seen a Giants team go 8-8 and make it into the playoffs. Dang, I've been on a team that's been 8-8 and won a playoff game. It's not that it's disappointing to see, but that's kind of the run. You'll have an injury. It'll be interesting, and of course you'll watch it, but it keeps a fan base, a city, and it keeps financially you involved.
Yeah.
One more game, like you said, it's $15 billion of revenue currently as you sit heading into 2020. You add one more game, just one more game and one more playoff game. The numbers, we could probably bear it out to be over $1 billion. It might be close to 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because playoff money jumps exponentially with ad revenue and how that goes with what you're doing. You're only negotiating regular season. Regular season money changes. Postseason money is really, it's big time.
Now, that is I have an interesting one on along those lines, is how much is the playoff check? It's not your normal game check, right?
I have to relook on it, and I know it's gone up.
But the players have got to love that.
Yeah, it's not massive. The first round is somewhere around, gosh, dang it. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if I remember correctly, it's somewhere around $17,000 to $18,000 for the first round, which that goes there. And then their second round bumps up to $32,000, and then it can go up and up from there. But but if you have a first round bye and how that works, that playoff money is on top of your regular season money is done at the end of the season. All that extra that comes in there. Then there's what's called player bonuses, and then there's called pay for play, which you get if you're a rookie and you have a player and you've done, let's say you're a great rookie player. You could use anybody that's a rookie player and you play 85% of the games, yet your salary is a rookie salary. You're going to have a rookie salary pool at the end, where a player pool, you could be a middle range player and make an extra $1.5, almost $2 million in bonuses based on that pool of money that used to go to rookies, all to rookies, now goes to the middle. We call it the middle class of the NFL. You could be a league minimum player and be a big time contributor making $600,000, $700,000. You play 80% of the games, you're going to make another $1.5 million in bonuses based upon that pool and how many plays you've made. So it does motivate you to become a very good player, and you'll get extra money.
I looked up royalties in the NFL, and this is kind of along the lines of the, you know, the, whatchamacallits, group, the NCAA, and Jay Billis said, how about group licensing deals?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we talked about that? According to NBC Sports, Tom Brady, he made $2.5 million on royalty fees by the group licensing, where the players lump themselves together for all jersey sales, video game sales, and trading cards sales and production. he was the highest paid in the NFL on the royalty fees. And then, like, they have a pecking order.
Yes.
Dak Prescott came in second at $2 million. Antonio Brown was $1.5
million. Yep.
And then it just kind of funnels down. And
Falls off.
It's mostly based off of jersey sales.
Of course.
Right?
Likenesses.
And then, like you said, a rookie offensive lineman, nobody's buying his jersey. Mm-mm. You know, he still gets a piece of that pie because they group it all together. Yep. And that's what the NCAA is talking about doing. Hey, if you want fair and equal and you want all these guys to get a little bit of money, okay,
you have a baseline.
You do group licensing where every single Oregon jersey that is sold, right, even though it's all Justin Herbert, number 10, that gets a little bit more money, but the backup kicker still gets a little bit of that trickle down, right? It's, you know, you get the runoff. From
the whole fight is over money. I mean, I know it sounds like we're splitting hairs, but that's really what this is. It's fight over money. The career is too short. Well, the career is too short. I mean, you could make all this money in 4 years of your lifespan. Hopefully you're smart enough to make it last for a long point of time. And so the retirements for the NFL are the worst of any of the leagues. So these guys have to make more in their salaries and guaranteed because they understand that their lifespan is so small.
Why is that, the retirement, the worst? Because, okay, full service is... You get 4 years.
3 years and three games. 3 years and three games. That credited season is 3 years and three games.
Okay.
That's a vested player.
That earns you pension.
That earns you, currently as it sits, it earns you 500 and I think it's, I'm sorry, this year it's just a shade over $600 per month per year, every year you play. At age 55.
At age 55.
And you can hold it off till 60, which will make it grow from there. But the average lifespan going into when I retired, the average lifespan of an NFL player before, when at the time I retired in 2006, it's now gone up. It was only 58 years old. So
you're talking lifespan, is that like people were dying?
Correct. Jeez. Now that is certainly changing. It's getting a little bit better with medicine, I would think. But I would have to look at some of the numbers now because I've been out of it for so long. Yeah, these guys get to retirement age and they're just not getting it.
Yeah. Okay, so
the pre-1993 guys, it's a very scary group.
You're like, you played 9 years?
Yeah.
Are you vested?
Eight credit.
For,
yeah.
Eight
oh, no.
Credit, you weren't nine. You didn't get the ninth?
Yeah. You're vested at, like you say, you're vested at four. Mm-hmm. You're vested 3 years, three games.
But then there's ramp-ups. Like if you hit five is another escalator. And then is each year an escalator in that pension? Or is it in your retirement, or is it just 10?
Depends on when your stage of your career was. And that's really how the structure is. NFL is by far the worst. It doesn't have their 401k is solid, but their health care and the biggest fight is what these players are going to do is they're going to go after their health care rights. Mm-hmm. And seeing that you only get insurance 5 years after you retire, then you're on your own.
Mm. Okay.
But I know benefits are boring to talk about, but everyone wants to know the sticking points come down to the time of safety, healthcare, and certainly it's going to be roster expansion. Some of these dumb sticking points, you're going to wonder, well, why can't these guys agree? Why can't they guys agree? Because they don't think of it that way.
55305, the Better You Today text line. Coming up next hour, Know Your Foe, and a big injury could be looming in the NFC. Pro Football Challenge at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, followed by actor and comedian Michael Rapaport in studio with us for the remainder of the 8 o'clock hour. Up next, though, Hot and Cool on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.